Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. Truth is our bitch. And this year, 2013, will mark a beginning, an entirely new phase, a revolutionary new phase in the Phil Hendry saga, if you will, in the journey of Phil Hendry. We will be presenting on stage a one-man show. I say one-man show. It basically will be presenting a theatrical version of me, and that will be happening this year, late spring, in a variety of venues all over our beautiful country and beyond. Well, I say beyond.
Well, are you planning on opening in London, or aren't you?
Margaret, come on.
Are you planning on opening in London, or aren't you? Frank and I will be there in July.
No. No, I'm not.
Jesus.
Well, you know, excuse me, but I'd rather just, you know, deal with the American market first.
Frank and I will be in London in July, and I think it would be nice if you were there in Oxford Circle, or whatever it's called. I forget the name of the street.
Well, that would be nice, you know. It would be nice if I didn't even do the shows, if they just gave me a whole bunch of money and I sat on my ass. But none of that's going to happen, okay? I don't know if I'm... London? I'd have no idea if that will ever... I'll be happy if I can make a living out of this good old U.S. of A. Nonetheless, Margaret, you'll be the first to know.
That's the boy. That's what I want to hear. I want the first news on that.
Great. All right, so that's happening this year, and within hours, when I say hours...
Yeah, 48 hours.
All right, within 48 hours, a brand new look to our website will be unveiled as well, and we will have live media, live streaming of our videocast, for instance, for you guys there on your iPhones via our good friends at Bright Cove. So we're having... So there's a lot of stuff going on. In the meantime, in the real world, Serena Williams went out of the Australian Open in a huge shock as injury derailed her hopes against Sloane Stephens in the quarterfinals. Serena Williams, everybody was talking about this. She got her ass handed to her. She got a brand new, what, bud?
Well, go say something about her ass.
Watch it.
Got her ass handed to her. I wish they'd hand it to me.
Shut up, man. Hey, watch it, will you? Wish they'd hand it to you. Well, I understand that, though. So, anyway...
But you encourage him?
Just hold on. So, anyway, Serena Williams went out of the Australian Open in a huge shock as injury derailed her hopes against Sloane Stephens, the quarterfinal, a 15-time Grand Slam champion. 15-time Grand Slam champion, man. Woo!
Yes, but that's not the Grand Slam, Grand Slam.
No, the Grand Slam... To win the Grand Slam, you got to win all four events. Nowadays, we say you're a Grand Slam champion when you win a Grand Slam event. But you haven't won the Grand Slam. The Grand Slam in tennis is the U.S. Open, the French Open, the Australian Open, and Wimbledon. Okay?
That's the same thing, though.
The same thing as what?
You said the U.S. Open and Wimbledon.
No, Wimbledon's in England.
Well, I'm not what an idiot.
Oh.
Okay?
Why don't they call it the British Open?
Because they call it Wimbledon, man. I don't know why they don't call it the British Open. The Grand Slam in tennis.
Now, what is the Grand Slam in hockey?
Hockey?
Yeah.
There's no Grand Slam in hockey.
Yes, I'm sorry, golf.
Golf. Hockey?
Well, it's the same thing, Phil.
Yeah, in a lot of ways.
No, it isn't. It's not even close. Why, because they hit a thing with a stick?
Well, they hit a thing with a stick in baseball.
Yeah, they hit a thing with a stick in baseball.
No, they don't. They hit... Yes, it's a bat. I'm talking about how they do the stick.
They swing at it the same way in hockey.
No, they don't. The Grand Slam in golf is the PGA Championship, the British Open, the U.S. Open, and the Masters.
The U.S. Open and the Masters? That... I don't get it.
Why is it when I say this stuff, you guys don't get it?
Doesn't make any sense. You're saying they got two events?
There's two American events in the Grand Slam of golf, yes. There's the Masters, held in Georgia. There's the U.S. Open. And the other, there's three. It is kind of interesting that way, but golf, you know, even though golf, at the turn of the 20th century, golf was primarily something that was played, the great players were in the United Kingdom. It's become an American, America runs the game now. Every time we have a Ryder's Cup, it's America against the whole bloody world. So the fact is, three of them are American. The Masters, the U.S. Open, the British Open, and the PGA Championship.
Now, what? How do they roll out?
First, it's the Masters.
Then it's the U.S. Open.
No, then it's the British Open.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is. Or is it?
No, I think it's it's Wimbledon first, then the Masters.
Would you get out of here with Wimbledon?
No, I'm sorry. It's the Masters first. Then I think it is the U.S. Open.
Well, maybe you're right. I don't know. But then the British Open.
Well, that doesn't help me. Which is it?
Margaret, you'll have to look it up.
What about in golf? In tennis?
I don't know.
I do. U.S. Open. U.S. Open, then the Italian?
Okay, bud. Back off, okay?
Not Italian?
No, not Italian. It's the U.S. Open. It's the French. I don't know what the order of the thing is. I don't know. I have no idea. You'll have to look it up. In any event, one of the Grand Slam events, the Australian Open, that's a Grand Slam event. But to win a Grand Slam, and I don't know the last person, who's the last person to ever actually win all four?
Well, I could look. That's probably someone like Betty King or something like that.
Yeah, what about Betty King?
Who's Betty King?
The lesbian.
Billie Jean King.
Well, all right. Was it her? No.
I don't think she won the Grand Slam. I don't think, I can't name the last person that won in the same calendar year, too, by the way. That's the way to legitimately win a Grand Slam. See, everybody wants to kind of fudge it. You know, well, he did the same thing. You know, he won three events one year and won the same. No. The way to win a Grand Slam legitimately is you win all four in the same calendar year. And I can't remember the last golfer or tennis player that did it. Maybe it's impossible now. Maybe it's just too difficult. I don't know. Nonetheless, this young lady, Sloane Stephens, 19, is on the verge of breaking into the world's top 20, and she was playing in her first Grand Slam quarterfinal. She gave a good account of herself in the opening stages, but Williams looked to have seen off the impressive teenager when she reeled off five straight games from 3-3. However, Williams came into the match carrying an ankle injury, picked up in round one, and appeared to turn it once again in the second set. The 31-year-old shrieked in pain while rushing forward for a ball at 4-3 down, and the doctor was called at the next changeover, prompting Williams to head off court for a treatment. Regularly grimacing in pain between points, the five-time Australian Open champion was unable to serve or move at anything like 100%. Stephens took advantage to that level. She battled on, determined not to end a run that saw her win Wimbledon, the Olympics, and the U.S. Open in succession last year.
There, that's it. That's the Grand Slam.
No, it's not the Grand Slam.
Yeah, will you... Why are you saying that?
Because that ain't the Grand Slam, man. That's why I'm saying it.
I wouldn't say... Mr. Ernie, you're not saying because she's black.
No, I'm not. Are you an idiot or something? That's not the Grand Slam. The Olympics, that's not the Grand Slam. The Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, French Open, Australian Open. That's it.
Well, it's not... First of all, it's not called the Wimbledon. That's... Boy, is that retarded. Secondly,
never mind. Wimbledon, the U.S. Open, Australian Open, and the French Open.
Not the France Open.
You know, you guys are really starting to piss me off.
Phil, you're the one that likes to be precise. You're always talking about being precise.
Yeah.
Look it. You know, if I meant the French Open and I say the France Open, you guys are going to penalize me. You're going to say, oh, you didn't say that. That's how petty you are. You know full well I mean the French Open.
No, I don't. For instance, the Masters and the U.S. Open are different, are they not?
Yes.
All right. Then why couldn't you have the French Open and the France Open?
I don't know, but they don't have any such thing. They don't have any such thing. They have the French Open that I made the mistake of calling the France Open. All right?
Yeah, and what about Australia?
What about them?
You didn't say anything wrong about that.
What, do you think I said the Australia Open? The Australian Open. There, you feel better? It was the... I can't believe you guys.
You're the one that always talks about precision.
Yeah, Mr. Aaron, you want people to talk good.
I want them to talk good, yes. I want people to talk well. But it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to speak the King's English all the time. When you're trying to make a point and people know what it is that you're trying to say, why would you want to obfuscate, if you will, by all that other jazz? All right. Don't ask me what it means. Look it up. After resisting the pressure...
What's it start with?
An O. After resisting the pressure of three break points at 3-3 in the decider, Stephens could not stave off a fourth and slammed a forehand into the net, but Williams handed it back, boom-ba-boom, back and forth. Finally, it was the younger player who was the stronger in the closing stages, and when facing two match points, a fading Williams could only find the net, to the astonishment of Stevens as much as anyone else on Rod Laver Arena. The new star of women's tennis will take on defending champion and world number one Victoria Azarenka in the semifinals on Thursday. So there you go.
And that is a big event. Why?
That's the Australian Open. It's one of the Grand Slam. That's why they cover it. That's why they say it is a Grand Slam event. The only thing about that is that it's increasingly meaningless calling it a Grand Slam event when, in fact, no one has won a Grand Slam in a long time. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to find out here. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. We come back. We will have for sure the name of somebody, anybody, who last won the Grand Slam in tennis and in golf. More on that Manti Te'o story. Tom Brady. We got a lot of sports. Tom Brady is being investigated for a slide in the ball game against Baltimore, a slide that looked like a Ty Cobb slide, like he had the cleats up ready to spike somebody. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
You can have the same looking flag either. Who cares, bud? You listen to what I'm saying? All the last guy to win the Grand Slam. Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show, here till 1 o'clock.
Very good.
Thank you. We're happy to be with you. Truth is our bitch. The last guy to win the Grand Slam in men's tennis was Rod Laver, 1969. He won all four events. That's what winning the Grand Slam is. Okay? And not only did he do it once, he did it twice. He won it in 69, and then he also did it in 62.
He won it in 1969, and then again in 1962.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, that's what you said.
You can't win it in 1969 and then again in 1962, because you'd have to go back in time.
Oh, what?
He won it in 1962, and then again in 1969.
Right, that's the way to say it.
Thank you. You'd have to go back in time. So there you go. Before that, it was 1958, Don Budge.
Really? Don Budge? I bet you he didn't budge that year, did he? Well, look at the stone faces. So that doesn't even...
No, it doesn't even rate a chortle.
I would think that you... Never mind.
No, Margaret. I'm not going to be polite enough to laugh at something that sucked.
How dare you?
Don Budge in 1958, and that was it. So only three guys have won the Grand Slam in tennis, and it all happened within a relatively short span there, about actually 10, 12 years. Don Budge in the United States in 58, and then an Australian twice, Rod Laver in 62 and 1969. A lot of guys came close. Mats Wielander, if you're going to pronounce it right, Margaret.
Well, are you doing the French?
No, that's nowhere near French. That's Mats Wielander.
Sounds almost like Dutch.
It's Swedish, or whatever the hell he was.
Whatever the hell he was. Boy, I'll bet you that makes him feel good.
I'm sorry, Mr. Wielander, or Wielander, if you're listening. I don't know what country you're from. I apologize. Sorry, I think it's Sweden. Mats Wielander almost did it in 1988. And I say almost because the Swedish flag was raised in each, as the championship flag, if you will, in each one of those events, but it was Stefan Edberg who won at Wimbledon, not Mats Wielander. Otherwise, it was a Grand Slam win for Sweden that year. And there are a couple of other moments like that. The United States, a couple of years where both Sampras and Andre Agassi were winners. So that's what that is.
How come not a lot of guys have done that, though?
No, not a lot of guys have done it. The question is, will it ever happen again? Can they ever do this again? It's an incredibly difficult feat. It hasn't happened in over 40 years. Will it happen again? Never say never, because, look, we didn't have a Triple Crown winner for over 20 years in horse racing. And did we ever really think that Roger Maris's record was going to be broken?
Well, not until we had steroids.
Right, not until we had... That's a good point. I guess we could say that Maris hasn't, his record had, I don't know, but we sure as hell had a lot of guys popping that apple out of the yard in a two-year span back there in the late 90s now, didn't we? We had that guy, what's his name? Who's the guy? McGuire and the other guy.
That guy from the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, I forget the cat's name now, man. And he only cranked out about 66 homers, so it was pretty incredible that year. Whether it was steroid-related or not, I don't know. So that is a list of the tennis. Now, I was going to try to get over and give you a list of the golf Grand Slam guys, which I'll do at a later date. In terms of women, and we have Grand Slam and tennis. Do they have the female?
I got it right here.
Get the list of the women. Here it is. Women singles champions. The last woman to win the Grand Slam was Steffi Graf, and that was in 1988. And as a matter of fact, and then before her was Margaret Court in 1970, and then before Margaret Court, it was Maureen Connolly of the United States in 1953, and that was that. So only three in the history of women's tennis, and more recently than in men's tennis, Steffi Graf. Who's the one that married, what's his name?
Who?
Wasn't there a woman that, a tennis player that married, like, was it John McEnroe or something like that?
Well, I know that McEnroe married a big, tall, a real butch,
A butch?
Well.
Somebody like that. But anyway, it might have been Steffi Graf. Margaret Court is famous because she's the one that guy, Bobby, what's his face? Bobby Riggs. He said that women sucked at tennis or they weren't any good or something like that.
Yeah, he said that a woman couldn't beat a man.
Yeah, some kind of jive-ass thing like that. So Bobby Riggs went out and he played Margaret Court and he beat her. Margaret Court had just won the Grand Slam of tennis. And here comes Bobby Riggs, who was 20 years older than her. And in this sort of, I guess you could say it was an exhibition, a carnival-style exhibition of the battle of the sexes, so to speak, went out and handed a woman's Grand Slam winner a loss in this exhibit of supposed men's superiority. Billie Jean King, I guess that didn't sit very well with her. I think she felt that Margaret Court was a little psyched out by the whole atmosphere. Who knows? But Billie Jean King went out there and took on this guy, Bobby Riggs, and beat him.
Oh, so she's a lady that beat him?
Yeah, but she said she was a lesbian.
Yes, see, that's
what?
Well, nothing.
She's a lesbian, so what does that mean? So, like a half a man or something like that?
I didn't say half a man.
In any event, she beat Bobby Riggs, and that was that. So, I guess that sort of put him in his place, and I don't think we've had any kind of nonsense like that ever since. I think the whole thing is I think that was such a vestige of the 70s and the late 60s when this battle of the sexes thing was happening. There was even an event that was tragic. It was a match race, a battle of the sexes, so to speak, between a male horse and a filly. I forget the name of the male horse. The filly was a beautiful animal named Ruffian, a three-year-old, I think. Ruffian was the female, and it might have been Swaps. I don't know why I'm thinking Swaps, but in any event, this was staged by some jackass. Now, if you're in PETA and you wanted to protest something, here's something to protest. This was asinine. There's no reason for this, a battle of the sexes. What the hell is that about? And you're taking a horse and an animal that's used to running in a pack. In a pack of, say, five, six, seven, eight more horses, and you're putting that horse against just one other horse, and they run differently than they do in a pack of horses. They're trying to keep up. They're trying to match a certain pace, match a certain speed, and if there isn't, if there's just one animal, the other animal tends to, in the case of Ruffian, it tended to go a little harder than it should have in that instance. And Ruffian wound up breaking a bone in her foreleg, one of her forelegs, and had to be put down on the track. And why? Because of some stupid idea of a battle of the sexes race?
That is, I didn't know that.
I'll look that one up too. We'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
How do you know she existed?
What?
Well.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. I'm telling you,
Well, what you just said.
I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding. I'm not exaggerating at all.
You go ahead and tell the audience that, then.
I'm fine with the audience. I'll tell the audience. The last 15 years of my life, you can take the last 15 years of my life and drop it right into the crapper. It makes no difference, man.
So, in other words, the last 15 years of your life, had been like a big brick of crap.
Yes.
A big kilo of dung.
Yes. Man, I'm telling you. For all that I've done with the last 15 years of my life, now I'm not saying I haven't learned anything, so I suppose in a way it's better than a kilo of dung.
That's what you called it. You said a brick. And in my day, a brick was a kilo.
Well, what are you talking about?
When you were dealing... Well, I've been...
Oh, look at you. When you were dealing what?
I said you, not me.
I didn't deal anything, thank you very much.
What are you talking about, Mr. Henry?
She's talking about weed.
No, I am not.
Nonetheless, that's exactly what I said. But the thing of it is you can't look at your life and say, well, all right, if the last 15 years of my life has been nothing more than one solid brick of horse dung, let's say, there's got to be some upside to that.
Well, even horse dung, if you're talking about a brick of it, could be used as fuel.
Yeah, you could use that as a brick of fuel if you needed it. What's so funny?
Yeah, you're right, you could. It's not exactly like peat moss or whatever that stuff is. But I'm just telling you, man, I mean, we've had, in the last few days, I went to San Francisco, I took a couple of days off, I went up to visit some friends, watched the ball game, had a couple of bites to eat, had a couple of belts, that's right. I even went off of my usual tequila regimen and had a couple of shots of Bushmills. Now what do you think of me, huh?
Boy, that's pretty unusual for you, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe it is. But you know what? I didn't care. No, it was a lot of fun. Went across the street from the hotel into John's Grill, one of the great old eateries in San Francisco, a place where... Dashiell Hammett may have written parts of The Maltese Falcon. Had a couple of pops in there. And so on and so forth. And then I got back to town yesterday, and it was, you know, work all over again. And I'm telling you, just one disaster after the next. There's nothing that's easy in this world, folks. And when things are tough and things are, you know, piling up, you know, and you're thinking the way I'm thinking and you're feeling the way I'm feeling, which is like, oh, the last 10 years have been nothing but a big brick of dung. Or whatever, just remember, there's got to be some lesson you can pull away from this, man. There's got to be something you can learn, and you're better for it, you know?
Well, what is your lesson?
My lesson? You're not gonna believe what my lesson? People are going to hate this, because they're going to think it goes against the whole, you know, lesson of life thing. My lesson has been, I've been too generous with people. Too generous.
Well, that goes all against the whole, the Christian thing. The golden rule.
Yeah, it goes against the golden rule and everything.
Well, maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. Maybe it does and maybe it doesn't. I was far too generous, but here's the thing. I was generous in the way that most people, I think, are generous. I was looking for love.
In all the wrong places.
Yeah. You'd like the song?
Whatever, okay? I was looking like most people are generous, most people give, most people are nice, most people... Why? Because they want love. They want something in return. They want people... That's what I did all my life. That's what I did all of my life. And it culminated in the experiences of the last 15 years. So when I say too generous, that's a bad way of putting it. I was generous for all the wrong reasons, you know?
Yeah, like that song. Remember, goes looking for love, you know?
You knock it off, Bud, with the looking for love.
That's really not what that's... I know the song that Bud's... I was looking for love in all the wrong places is a country song. It's got nothing to do with what Phil is singing about. You're singing, or you're not Phil singing, but you're saying, Phil, that you were giving of yourself for the wrong reasons. So it was more like nights in white satin. Is it more like that? Never reaching the end.
Yeah.
Nights in white satin?
Yes. Never reaching the end.
Never reaching the end.
No, it's not like that.
What about this one? We trip the light fandango.
You knock it off with all of the classic hits of the great, you know. It ain't that song either. I'm just saying it was a situation where giving for all the wrong reasons. You want to do that. If you want to be generous for the reasons that we all should be generous. This person really needs that. Got nothing to do with me. Got nothing to do with me at all. You got to take your ego completely out of it. And, of course, I didn't do that. So, in order for me to counterbalance that somehow...
You're just going to be selfish.
Exactly. I'm going to be selfish. No, I'm not going to do that. I'm just, you know... I'm not going to be the, you know, I'm not going to be Big Daddy anymore, man. I was Big Daddy. No way, no way, no way, man. Because today, you know, as I look at my life now, today things are just as difficult, if not more. So let that be a lesson. That's my lesson from me to you. Don't do it, man. Don't go out there doing for people because you think somebody's going to love you for it. It's not how the world works. And you would be better off, and it goes against all of our instinct, you would be better off being selfish and not giving to people because you don't really want to do it. You're only going to do it because you think it's going to send your ass to heaven. You might as well just not do it, man. You know.
Do you believe in heaven?
Do I believe in heaven? I have no idea. I don't know where I don't know. All right.
You don't know. You don't know if there's a heaven or not.
No, I don't know if there's a heaven or not. Why not? How am I going to know that?
Well, have you made a study of it?
How am I going to make a study of it, Bud?
Well, what Bud's saying is, do you believe... excuse me.
That's told not to do that.
I told you, Margaret, would you please not do that?
You know something? I had some of your Turkish coffee, and it cost gas. That's not on me. That's on you. That's not on me. That's on you. Your Turkish coffee caused gas.
So you had to belch right into the microphone.
Yeah, well, where do you want me to do it, Phil? Am I going... People are going to hear it.
Yeah, you can put your mouth in, you're like, burr.
People will hear it. It doesn't matter if I cover it up.
All right. Authorities say the shooting at a Texas community college was the result... What?
Well, are you just blowing it off? Did you hear what I said?
I heard what you said, Margaret. I accept what you said. People are going to hear it, even if you try to cover it up.
It's like a fart. You can cover that up, but guess what? Within seconds, there's panic in the room.
Well,
nobody's asking your opinion, Bud. It's like a fart.
Yes. You can cover it up.
But within seconds, the room's filled with panic.
Yes.
I accept what you say. Thank you very much.
That's all I'm asking. I'm asking for you to acknowledge, not to approve, but acknowledge.
I acknowledge what you just said. Interesting.
Which basically means I'm full of crap. So I wish you had not acknowledged...
Can I finish doing this now? Sorry. Authorities say the shooting at a Texas community college was the result of an altercation between two people, and at least one was a student. Harris County Sheriff Major Armando Tello says both people involved in the altercation were wounded and hospitalized. He says a college maintenance man was injured in a crossfire and also taken to a hospital. Tello says a female who had a student ID was also hospitalized. So these are people with gunplay there, and it caused quite a bit of concern nationally. It was not the large massacre-style shooting that we are used to or that we were anticipating. It was, in point of fact, some kind of a disagreement between two people, but nonetheless, there are the guns. I'll tell you something, and it has been reflected in recent poll numbers. What happened in Connecticut has even made people who were traditional gun rights advocates, it's even made, and I'm one of them, it's even made us ask the question, you know, what are we going to do here, okay? Because I'm not going to keep on, every time something like that happens, I'm not going to keep on doing what I've always done, which is go to war against the gun control people. That's always what I do. Oh, well, we had a shooting. Time for us to gear up and go to war against the gun control people, trying to protect the gun people. Better, I'm going to put on my flak jacket and get and go to war for the, you know, on behalf of gun rights. And I'm getting a little tired of that because, you know, the question now is, while I'm going to war on behalf of gun rights, who's going to war on behalf of these little children that are getting killed? So what's happened is, I think everybody has had the same thing, that, you know, has sort of the same realization that I had, which is, wait a minute, I've been sitting here fighting the fight for the NRA and gun owners, and there's little kids that are dead. And if you want my opinion, I would much rather be battling on their behalf than people whose rights are never going away. Newsmax, what do you do for a living over at Newsmax other than pretend you're a news gathering agency? And in point of fact, you're a right-wing fascist propaganda rag, Newsmax. Okay, and your question, is it time for federal legislation against gun? Let me say it again so even idiots like you get it. Your guns are never going to be taken away from you. They're never going to be taken away from you. Now, you may not be able to have 85 million guns stocked in a bunker someplace. It may be that you will not be allowed to have so many grenades and so many sticks of dynamite. They may actually limit the number of guns that you can own to, let's say, 100. And maybe, just maybe, the gun you have doesn't fire as many rounds in a minute as you'd like it to. And may, you know, these are all things that you may have to live with. But nonetheless, you're going to have plenty of firepower. You'll have enough to waste anybody that tries to bust down the door to your house. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. And the ammunition to go with it. But what's the big question that has not been answered? How do we keep a little five-year-old kid alive from one day to the next? How's that happen? Anybody got any bright ideas about that? You want to have guards at the schools. In other words, what you want to do is you want more bureaucracy. You want a larger government. You want a bigger police presence. I thought that's what most of you people that support the NRA and you people in the NRA, I thought that's what you were against. Now, you're going to have to start making some sense, okay? And when you do, you know, then I'll listen. And I haven't stopped fighting for gun rights. I haven't stopped being a gun rights advocate. I haven't stopped being in favor of the rights of gun owners. I'm completely in favor of it. But I'm, you know, the priority is now secondary to little kids trying to go to school at the age of five. You'll forgive me, but that's now my priority, not your ass, if you don't mind. If you don't think of me as some liberal, because I don't have you uppermost in my mind each and every day. Because I don't have your guns and your rights to guns uppermost there, number one, top of the list, every single day. I'm worried about your ass. I'm worried about a little kid. If that's all right with you, I still believe in gun rights. I do.
You're just going to get them pissed off at you and everything now.
They're going to think you're a liberal.
Well, of course they're going to think I'm a liberal. Because a liberal is a guy that doesn't have their ass uppermost in his mind every day as the end-all, be-all to his existence. If he, the gun owner, is secondary on any given day to the rights of a little five-year-old kid to go to school, suddenly I'm a liberal. That is the simple-minded bastard that some of those people are. Not all of them, but some of them are that stupid. Doesn't matter if I support gun rights. I have to support it above everything else. I have to support it even beyond the rights of little children. To live. To be alive. See? Otherwise, I'm just a bleeding heart liberal that wants a bigger government. And what are you jackasses asking for when you want more cops to guard schools? That sounds like bigger government to me.
Now you're all pissed off, and you're not going to have a good show for the rest of the way. Not that you've already had a good show.
Well, thanks a lot, Margaret.
You're going to have an attitude and everything.
Maybe I will.
You'll probably want to get in a fight.
Maybe I do.
Can I go home early then?
No. All right, we'll be right back. I'm fine. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Sorry, I got angry.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
why are you looking to cause a problem? Newsmax is like WorldNet Daily.
Yeah, it's one of these. See, you know, these are news. I don't like any of these news sources that masquerade as a news source when they're just a propaganda sheet. Newsmax is one. WorldNet Daily is another. And I'm sure there's the ones like the one on the left is that what's that watchdog? They call themselves a media watch. Media Matters?
Yeah, Media Matters. They're a media watchdog.
Bull crap. Not a media watchdog. I think they may be a media watch cat. They may be a media watch mouse.
All right, enough, Phil. The joke is going. This is a Tuesday. You just got back from a 3-day vacation. It's flat. Just flat. All right?
Fine.
Yeah, it's not about happening, man.
Great. Okay, so nonetheless.
It's just news watchdog, and it's not a news watch. It's not a watchdog.
It's flat.
Yes.
Well, we could bear it better than that.
See, there he goes again with that lazy eye looking at me and going, it's flat.
We had a whole discussion about flat last week, so just take it easy. Anyway, Newsmax, America, what is it called? Media Matters. That's another one that's a load. People don't know the difference, though. And this Newsmax really pisses me off with this. They had a poll that says, are you ready to have Obama take your guns or some jazz like that? Well, what do you think people are going to say that reads your newspaper or your news site, Newsmax? What the hell do you think they're going to? I guess it's going to come in about 99% no. And what are you going to do with that? You're going to publish that as, here's the result of our poll. It wasn't scientific, but just taking a feeling for the people here, just getting a little bit, just testing the water, so to speak. 99%. All right. Anyway, I don't care. It's fine with me. But I mean, you know, you just got to know what it is that you're reading. So that was that. And this is now the world famous Phil Henry Show. Our website is philhenryshow.com. We're located at we're in West Palm Beach right next door to Newsmax. No, our website is philhenryshow.com. Where we're located is anybody's guess.
We're in Westlake Village.
Westlake Village. That's our mailing address is Westlake Village. California, and our website, as I said, philhenryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass and watch our live streaming video of the show, as well as listen to our archives that go back over a decade, 5,000 hours of archived audio shows and of radio shows. Such a huge archive of material that it took forever for us to migrate, that's the word that we use, migrate that material from the old website platform to the new one. I just, by the way, got a message from my website guys. They're working through the night to get the new site up and running.
Yeah, well, you're being, when you got that message, you were very angry.
I was not very angry. I was not.
Yeah, you started talking about how much you regret ever being born.
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
Well, you were...
No, I wasn't anything. I was saying that this has been a long process. It's been frustrating. More frustrating for the guys that have been actually doing it. Nonetheless, it's going to be fantastic. It'll be ready in a couple of days. You're going to love it. And we will have all of the capability that we have advertised, streaming for Apple product, et cetera, so on and so forth. So now's the time to get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Get one and become a part of our backstage pass family. All right, Tom Brady, during that ball game, I picked New England and the 49ers to be in the Super Bowl, but it was not to be. The New England Patriots, they suck. You know?
What do you mean they suck?
They suck. The New England Patriots suck. The New England Patriots have stiffed more ball games. I mean, you know, at least they've won three. I get that. They've won three Super Bowls. Am I right about that? Yeah. But the fact of the matter is they have choked more big games than you really want to think about. The Patriots, take a look at starting with that game they lost when they were almost undefeated that year against the New York Giants, and then they stink it out in the Super Bowl and lose to Eli Manning and the Giants. They lose again to Eli Manning and the Giants. Last year they lose to, who the hell they lose to last year? Yeah, it was Eli Manning and it was to the Giants. And then this year they don't even make it into the Super Bowl. They lose to the Baltimore Ravens and on and on and on it goes. Now, I'm not saying that the New England Patriots are a bad team, but let's just hold off, if you don't mind, on giving Tom Brady greatest quarterback of all time awards just yet.
Well, you were having that argument with that one guy.
Yeah, You said if he were, he would be.
No, I did not say that. No, I did not. No, I didn't. If being the greatest quarterback of all time means the number of Super Bowls you've won, well, then we've got a very easy answer to the problem. We've got Joe Montana and Terry Bradshaw. There, they've won four. Okay? Is that right? Montana won four? Yeah, Montana won four. And Bradshaw won four. There, is that good?
Well,
no, that's not good. No one is going to confuse. Then we get into this argument. Well, the players in the 70s were not near as fast, etc., etc. And that's also a valid point. Nor were they in the 80s. By that argument, then you have to eliminate all players, let's say before all players from 20 years ago on back. You have to eliminate all of them, and only current era players within the last 20 years, maybe not even that, within the last 15 years, those are the only ones that count. You want to do that?
Well, that means you don't know Joe Montana?
No Joe Montana, sorry. Joe Montana's out, can't... it's a stupid argument, okay? So, no, I don't think it's about Super Bowls won, and I don't think it's about, I don't think it's about only modern period quarterbacks. I think there's a little more discussion that goes into it. We'll be right back next hour. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Now time for a bathroom trip.
Phil Hendry.